Well, thank the Lord. Joy of the Lord is your strength. You know that? What'd you say? That's salvation. Yes. That's what causes the joy of the Lord, isn't it? Thank the Lord. Well, God wants us to be in that place that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, I was thinking while I'm sitting here this morning, and I know this is actually the first service that I've been in, and I don't feel very, I don't normally get up first service I'm in. I just don't feel that way, kind of like an old Model T. I got to get a little crank first before I get started. But that's kind of an outdated statement, isn't it? Just thought of that after that. A lot of you may not know what I'm saying. But well, thank the Lord, there's Sister Clay. Well, we're here in this meeting. We want to serve the Lord. I know as I was preparing for myself, I was preparing to come. I don't know about you, but it seemed like busyness just seems to crowd in on us. And I wanted to be here yesterday. And we worked till the lights were on for a while last night before we was able to leave the shop and go home. So it was kind of late. And it reminded me then when we start all this press that we go through and then come to Monarch, finally get here, I was assessing my own spiritual condition. And I remember a message that was preached in the home congregation back there, and topic of it, or at least part of what was being spoken of in there, I think he wrote wet wood. You remember that? On the chalkboard. Wet wood. Quite a topic for a message, isn't it? But I want to think about how life can get us to the place that we don't really have anything to share. Have you ever tried to make a fire with wet wood? You're going to have to build a pretty good sized fire to get it going, aren't you? You're going to have some heat to get that wet wood going. Now, the Lord would really like to bless us here at Monarch. Sometimes, and it may not be your case, but it is mine, that I've come to Monarch with this sense of, whew, I just made it. I'm here waiting for somebody else to give me some food. When really I think the Lord would have us all kind of put some in our satchel before we get here. So I'm not accusing you, I'm talking about me. But if it's your case, I just pick it up too and say, well, Lord, me too. I remember Sister Hazel Clark here one time years ago. And I don't know, I was too young to really assess well how Monarch was going. But it seemed like she had a burden that Monarch, hadn't been a breakthrough in the meeting yet. You know what that means? You know what I'm talking about, a breakthrough in the meeting. Is that a term that's went out of date? Hope not. What that referred to was a time when it seemed like the anointing of the Lord was on the messages, and as it went along, the conviction began to build. And the sinners would come, and the Lord was blessing the services, and as they sat around, and I used to be one of those who sat back there, as we sit around and you'd feel it a little bit, you get to the point you almost feel like either I'm going to have to go to the altar or get out of here. And finally the Lord would get a hold of you. And you'd yield. And I've seen the altars over that other tabernacle lined time and time again. Had a breakthrough. Come the next morning and everybody was so thankful that the Lord, we had a breakthrough. People had come. There was a reaping was happening and people were stirred and there was a softening and a tendering. And I remember one year after one of those breakthroughs, I wasn't saved. I didn't yield to the Lord. And I felt pretty lonely the next day because most of my friends had gotten saved. And it's time for us to turn that tide back. I want to see some breakthroughs. And we don't have breakthroughs very well when we have a lot of wet wood. Sister Hazel Clark, during that meeting, interested with the burden, a desire that something would happen, there would be some real moving of the Lord. She was gone a whole day, or maybe more, I don't know. I was too young to really notice. But she came and she said that I've been fasting and praying for this meeting. I want to tell you, I'm not going to tell you always have to sequester yourself and fast and pray, but there needs to be some getting alone with the Lord. There needs to be a place where we carry the burden of this meeting to heart and we're saying, Lord, come amongst us. We need you. This is a very important meeting. I know there's not very many of us in this service, but before the meeting's over, we're going to see these benches all filled. I don't know exactly. There's going to be a large crowd. This is a very important meeting. We're interested in people getting saved. We're interested in the glory of the Lord coming down in our midst. And there's things that we can do to help that. When we get ourselves in the right place before the Lord, when we come with a hungry heart, a great desire, do you know it helps the Lord pour out His blessing? I've been in meetings, held meetings, and I've been in places where it seemed like it was difficult to get much going. Sit back and assess the situation. Sometimes I felt like, well, it wasn't just my fault. But it seemed like there just wasn't much hunger there. Then I was at a meeting one time. It seemed like there was a lot of hungry people there. They were just hungry. And I want to tell you what, it was easy to get messages. It was easy to preach because they were sitting there with hunger. And it wasn't me. Again, it was the Lord saying, I want to feed these. And we're just tools in His hands. But God does want us to be in that place that I bring myself in subjection to the Lord. I intentionally put myself at His disposal and say, Lord, in this meeting, I want You, Lord, to bless this meeting. And I want You, Lord, to pour out Your Spirit in this meeting. And I don't wish to hinder You in any way. Thank You very much. Appreciate that. I don't want to hinder this meeting at all. And there are things that we can do that do hinder the meeting. I want you to think about that. Sometimes it's just a frivolous mindset. And I'm going to put myself in some of that. I like to talk quite a bit. And sometimes I can talk about all the things that... But at this meeting, Lord, help us to bring our mind in and not just run across all the different other things out there in the world. And I know there's going to be some of that. No, I'm not preaching something here too straight, but I want us to spend some time encouraging one another in the Lord. There's a description in the Bible about the people locking arms and saying to one another, brother, let's go up unto Zion. Lord, help us during this meeting to lock prayers together, arms together, encourage one another, and point toward our Heavenly Father and say, let's go up. You know what the cry of the world is today? And I think you do know. I don't have to describe it to you, but I will. You observe it. It's very easy to see. The drift of the world is downward. It's never upward. The call of the world is to lighten the standard. The call of the world is to say it's not that important. But when our souls are at stake, folks, it is important. This meeting is important. My soul is important, but so is my brother's and my sister's soul. I affect them, and you affect me. We affect one another. God ordered it so. We're islands in the world. We're supposed to have influence on one another. So provoke one another. How? To what? To, okay, loves one of them. What? I haven't heard yet this. Haven't heard anything you say. Provoke one another to a looseness and a carelessness of life. It excluded that, didn't it? What does love provoke you to do? In a marriage, what does love provoke you to do? It provokes you to care about your spouse. To care about their feelings. That's what it does. And I want to tell you, a love for our Heavenly Father provokes something. It inspires something in our hearts. Not a looseness, not a carelessness, not a seeing how close I can walk to something else. But I can tell you what love does do. It calls us ever closer to each other and to God. Maybe I said that backward. It calls us ever closer to God and to one another. Because that's really the order that it is. It calls us closer to our Heavenly Father. And as we, each one, pursue ardently with a passionate heart, as we pursue this relationship and desire to be closer to our Lord, if I do that and you do that, you know what we're going to do? And again, listen to this. Don't care what color, what background, what part of the world we are from. When we do that individually, when we come up drawing nearer to our Heavenly Father, we're going to look over there and see our brother. And it won't make any difference where they came from. Whether I'm a farmer or you're from L.A., won't make a bit of difference. We have the same Father. And I'm in love with Him. And you're in love with Him. And we find a kinship because we know the same Father. God help us. I want to encourage us during this meeting. There's some things that the Lord wants to inspire us with. I want to see if I can some of you may have heard some of this before, but we're going to let the Lord work. Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, 27th verse and through the 30th. I want to read this scripture. The Lord is interested in you and I influencing each other in a very good way, inspiring one another. My father, and I've never quoted this before, and you may have heard it, but he said this one time. Somebody was offering him some stuff as a young man to get involved with, and he wouldn't do it. He turned it down. And they made some sort of slight toward him. And his response was, he said, any old dead fish can float down the stream. But it takes a live one to swim against it. I want to tell you, you understand what he's saying? You can let the drift, you can let all the peer pressure, you can let all that just take you along down the stream. But it takes somebody willing to stand up and say, no, that's not my identity. My identity is in heaven. I am looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of my faith. And that's where my eyes are. That's where my hope is. And I know that we're going to talk a little bit here about maybe some manliness. And this isn't going to exclude the females in here. Because the scripture talks to us all and says, quit you like men. There's a quality that the Lord wants us to embrace. A steadfastness. A willingness to do battle. A willingness to confront self. A willingness not to allow the influence of the flesh be the inspiration or be the force that would carry me away from the Lord. Don't let the influence of self do that. We have to say no. So I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to look over here in Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, and the 27th verse, the 30th through the 30th verse. 27 says, "Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves, ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain." This doesn't sound like a very good picture, does it? How do you think they got there? Who were they? Princes. Who are the... What does that mean? The leaders? People we should look up to? What's their condition? What's their description here? Doesn't sound like honorable at all, does it? Would you like to sit next to these and put your trust in somebody who are like wolves, ravening the prey, willing to shed blood to destroy souls? Folks, I submit, I don't believe any of us in here would say, "I think that's the leader I'm choosing." Wouldn't feel comfortable. But yet that's the condition of somebody who has put themselves at the head instead of God. This is what happens. This is the natural progression. This is the end, part of the end picture of what happens if individually we might be a leader. We might think we're a leader. But if we don't have God at our head, if we have not put Him first and not allowed Him to be the leader, this is a natural digression of our lives. We come to a place that we really don't love our fellow man. We're willing to destroy a soul. You know, we are our brother's keeper. We do have a responsibility to one another. God wants us to love one another. By this shall other people, not just other people, the whole world, when they look on you, they'll recognize that that's of God, because they love one another. Love is not expressed in always being permissive either. I want to tell you, in parenthood, I found out if I loved my children so much that I wasn't willing to correct them, it wasn't love at all. Whom the Lord loves, chastens. And how does that chastening feel? What? When? For the moment. And you're right, Brother Tony. No chastening for now, for the moment, seems pleasant. But I've looked back many a time and remembered when I felt like that my parents should not, oh, I didn't like it. But you know what I think of it now? I'm so glad. I'm so glad. And whom the Lord loves, you know how He deals with us? He's willing to correct us. And typically it's not, very seldom. I'll tell you, there was one time I think that I did make the Lord angry enough that He had to get a hold of my attention pretty good. And it wasn't pleasant at all. But most of the time it's a very gentle, it's a very firm, a very complete confrontation of my carnal nature. The Lord comes and deals with me. And I know that I've done wrong, and even though I have been so completely exposed, He's there with His gentle arms saying, "Come on, child. Yes, you don't have to just hang your head and moan anymore. I see you're sorry. Now let's go forward. Because I've got you in my arms." Now that's the correction of the Lord. Now the devil does it differently. So I want to tell you, if you have a sensitive conscience, that thank God for your sensitive conscience, but at the same time, I want you to know that sometimes the devil will take advantage of sensitive consciences and make us where we feel like that I can never gain the victory. And the way the devil abuses a sensitive conscience is not the way the Lord corrects. So I just wanted to set that out here for you. During this meeting, we're all different. Some of us takes a pretty hard knock to wake up, and some of us, the devil just really overrides sensitive conscience. So I want to let the Lord, begin to understand the voice of the Lord and His touch. And during this meeting, respond to that. All right. Somehow we've gotten away from these wolves. And want to get back to it here. These people who were leaders, we have effect on one another, and God help us to have a good effect. During this meeting, especially, inspire one another to good works, to good things, to love. 28th verse now, the last of that 27th verse says, not only to destroy souls, but to get dishonest gain. Such a carnal. It's distasteful, isn't it, to see people act like that. God help us not to be of that number. We have a choice, and we have a God that we can follow. And we don't have to be of that number. We can be of that number that inspires and encourages one another. And this meeting, let's be careful that we do that. One other thing I want to say about this meeting, and as we work together, as we are workers also together with Christ during this meeting, if the Lord is inspiring a wonderful altar call, be careful how quickly we may try to disrupt that. I know it may be well-meaning, but be careful how we handle those. If the Lord gives you something, really inspires you to be willing to put that in, but be careful that we don't damage the Spirit, the moving of the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think we've all seen that, and perhaps maybe some of us have been party to that at times. There have been times I've looked back and thought, I really shouldn't have. So learn. We don't have to feel beat down by our failings, but learn. God wants us to learn, to do better in these areas. So as the Lord is inspiring and really the anointing is on the services, or the conviction is heavy in the congregation, let's do what we can to work in conjunction with the way the Spirit is working. Just want to encourage us during this meeting to do so. All right. 28th verse now says, and her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar. What's this talking about? Did you know prophets? Okay. Who is this? Are these the foretellers of what the... No, we're not talking about fortune tellers here. No, don't get me wrong. There were prophets that the Lord did reveal things to of what would come in the future. But the role of a prophet, especially in this day, and what this is talking about, is people that we would instruct one another in the things of the Lord. Prophesy. Not foretelling as much as what is encouraging and inspiring one another to psalms and hymns and good works, things of the Lord. Now during this meeting, we will have the devil will try to get in there and try to ease our consciences individually. And there's sometimes I don't want to hurt you, I really don't. And that we should have that sensitivity to one another. But the devil would like to get us to the point that I care so much that I'm not even willing to tell my brother the truth. What was it, Jesus? There was a man. Remember the rich young ruler. Now, notice how Jesus dealt with him. He didn't whack him over the head and say, you're just self-righteous. He didn't say that. But he did say, I don't know. This is the way I see it. I can almost see Jesus looking at him after the man had said, all this, I've done all from my youth up. And I could see almost some sad eyes turn toward him. One thing thou lackest. And if you'll do this, one thing, how about it? One thing, just one. I've done all the other 10. Just one more. Surely I can. But that one was a big one. To this young man, sell everything that you got. Oh, but I thought I was so good. But yet Jesus, in his kindness, he told him the truth. Let's not daub one another with untempered mortar. The house will crumble. There's a reason why. The Lord wants Oh, he won't accept anything other than truth in his household. He won't accept it. God, help us to only allow truth in ourselves. Let's be radically honest with ourselves and with God. Because what God wants to build, he wants to form this stone, your lively stones. He wants to form these stones. He wants to shape you and I, that he can fit us into the right place. And when he does, the mortar is not untempered, but it's strong. It's an adhesive thing that holds us to Christ, to our Lord, to our Savior, and to one another. And we become a formidable army. That God can say, look at these, my children. Untempered mortar. Daub them. Lord, help us not to daub either ourselves or anyone else. Again, understand when I say that, I'm not talking about the right to be harsh or cruel to one another. That's not what we're talking about here. But lovingly truthful to one another. I want my life to be an example to you. And I want your life to be an example to me. There's a safety that we find in one another when you live for the Lord. The Lord shows you some things that maybe I haven't even seen. And you'll come to Wednesday night prayer meeting. How many of you keep going to Wednesday night prayer meeting? God help us. I'm just going to admit to you, there's some times this last little while that we've been so busy at home, it's been awful hard to have Wednesday night prayer meetings. And I'm one of them. Folks, God help us to come to Wednesday night prayer meetings and have a testimony. Here's what the Lord has done for me. Here's what the Lord has done, because I might be sitting right over there and I've been needing what you just said. It's important. Neglect not the assembling. There's a reason why the Lord wants us to provoke one another to good works. There's a system that the Lord, he intends for us to hold one another up and encourage one another and inspire to go up unto Zion. Go up. Don't decline, but go up. Untempered mortar, seeing vanity, divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord. Well, he hadn't spoken at all. 29th verse. The Lord of the land. The people of the land have used oppression, exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought. This is the part. I sought for a man. I would like to ask, I'm not going to ask you, but I'd like to ask you, you going to be that man tonight, today? And if I asked you, I'd like to see every hand go up here in this building and say, yes, Lord, I want to be that man. The Lord's saying, I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for somebody who will stand there in the gap. I'm looking for somebody who will say, yes, Lord, I'll be that one. I want you, Lord, working in my life. I want you, Lord, to be king. I want you, Lord, to be on display in my life. I want you, Lord, to be the one. I want to hold you up in this meeting. But not just this meeting, beyond this meeting. In all of my tomorrows. I'm not just giving you a year, Lord. I'm giving you my life. My life, oh Lord, I give to thee. I give it all. Do you think God's still looking for a man? Is he still wanting to save people? Is he still wanting to inspire the congregation of the saints? Yes. I know you're saying yes, but I'm going to say it too. Yes, God wants to inspire. He's looking for a yielded heart. He's looking for the man that will stand today and say, amen, Lord, have your way in my life. You have right to change me. I've got some attitudes that I've been Somehow I've been feeding, or realized I've been feeding some attitudes that haven't been good. And perhaps in this meeting, the Lord may put his finger on that. Say amen. I'm that man. He's looking for somebody who responds to his call. Oh, yes, we need workers in the field. But before the Lord sends you out to be workers in the field, he wants the man now. He wants us to say amen every day in our life. All the times when I'm frustrated and feel like the carnality wants to come out, he wants you to be that man. Any dead fish can swim with the tide. Any dead fish can float down the stream. But it takes something alive, something that God has down within us. And he's calling. He said, I'm looking for men. I'm looking for someone who will say, I yield. I yield my all. I won't harbor those ill feelings anymore. I yield. If you have ordered men to ride over my head, amen, Lord. You know, most of the time he doesn't do that anyway. The Lord doesn't abuse his children. But there are some times he humbles us out of love. It says in the scripture that the Lord hates a proud look. And there's a heart. He hates the heart, the pride of the heart. He doesn't hate it with this carnal vindictiveness. That's not what he... But he hates it because he looks at you and he is at us that harbor. If we harbor pride in our heart, or we display it in our person, he hates it because he knows what it's doing to us. It never ends well. Has pride ever led a man to a godly life? It hasn't. The end of that thing is destruction. We should deal with it as God sees it. We should hate it. When the Lord identifies areas in our life where we are harboring carnality, we need to say, Lord, I hear your call. He's coming by and saying, I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for somebody who will respond, who will say, amen, Lord, have your way in my life. I'm willing to lay this down. And I don't even know how right now, because I've been so invested in this emotion. I've let myself go so long. I hardly know how to give. But Lord, I will give to you all I know how to right now. I'm yielding. I want to tell you, the Lord will take that. If we give him all we know how. When I got sanctified, and Brother Clifford Wilson was our pastor, he looked at me in this quiet way. It was a little kind of a way of speaking that was kind of... Oh, precious brother. I miss him a lot. He said, Brother Ivan, he said, when I got sanctified, it was the Lord told me, showed me, he said, now what you've done, you've given me your heart. And I've accepted that. And he said, what you've given me is a heart with a little spot inside of it. And I'll dwell there. I'll move in. But he said, I'm going to start chipping that open. I'm going to start chipping off some stuff and making my area of dwelling bigger. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying it well, but when the Lord moves into our heart, he starts expanding his control in our life. And he moves in there, and then the Lord told Brother Clifford, he said, that's my job to chip it away. Your job is to throw it out. In this meeting, I believe the Lord's going to be chipping away. Out of love? Why? Because he hates things that damage his children. Oh, he's a mighty warrior. there is something rises up in the heart of the Father, our Heavenly Father, that when He sees things coming out to damage us in our soul, He moves to try to protect His children. And He'll begin to chip away. And then as He brings it to light, perhaps during this meeting, He brings it to my understanding. He shows it to me. And sometimes I see that and say, oh, that's ugly. And He says, yes, it is. It's been ugly for a long time. And I finally got you to the place that you can receive it. Now, what you going to do? I'll help you, child. I want this gotten rid of. Because I want to have a bigger area in your life. I want to influence you in a greater fashion. And it's my job then to say, amen, Lord, I'm that man. Amen, have your way in my life. Throw it out. Because the Lord wants to bless our life. And these attitudes of the flesh will never be a blessing to us. What was it Brother Paul said in Romans about the carnality? About it being enmity? And it can't be subject to the law? It never can be. Isn't that what the scripture said? Not subject to the law of God? Neither indeed can be. Don't ever expect it to be. It'll never get better. We can make excuses and say, but I was born this way. It's been my family traits. My daddy has been like this. He always flew off the handle. He always just spoke his mind. And I'm just genetically that way too. It doesn't work well. Do you know the Lord can help genetic traits? Thank the Lord, Brother Tony. Yes, hallelujah. Amen. We should say, who's the man that's willing to say? I'm that one that's willing to say, God help us now. I don't want to be a slave to my family traits. I want to be that one who is a slave, a love slave to the one who's my Heavenly Father. And He allows His character to be painted on us. I don't want to hold us too long. I know it's hot and I know it's tiring, but I want to encourage us. I have other scriptures, but I'm not going to go over them. But I believe this is the message that the Lord wants to get to us here this afternoon. Let's be willing to be that man. Let's say, amen, Lord. Move me, change me. I yield to You purposefully during this meeting. I want to be that one and there is no shame for a minister to go to the altar. There's no shame. God help us to lead the way. Set the examples. If the Lord's caught me short, amen, Lord, I'm that man. Pray for me. I want to serve Him. And I want to encourage you, and I want to somehow, if I can, be some sort of inspiration that'll bless your life. And I want you to be some of that inspiration to bless my life too. Let's go up to Zion.